Well, today we have a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount, and we have a few more verses to look at, which continue the theme of how Christians need to love one another. And the Lord quotes some of the Pharisees, and he said that you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now, nowhere in the Old Testament does it say to hate your enemy. But the Pharisees interpreted Leviticus 19, verse 18, as that they would only need to love their fellow men, their fellow members of the Jewish faith. But what they did was instead that they turned that into you're allowed to hate your enemy. And of course, they had many enemies. They had the Samaritans, they had the Romans. And so the Lord said, no. What I say to you is you have to love your enemies. And that, of course, was very shocking for the people in those days to be told that they had to love their enemies. And the word that the Lord used here is agape, with this sacrificial, total, unconditional love. See, the Lord could have used the word philios, like brotherly love, or one of the other Greek words for love. But he uses this word, this agape, to love your enemies in this divine, supernatural love. See, to love your enemies is not natural. It is supernatural. And it does require the grace of God and God's help to do that. So we have to pray for the grace to be able to love our enemies. Now, fortunately, it doesn't say we have to like our enemies, right? Because that's a whole different thing. To like is different than to love. To love is desiring the highest and best good for the other person. So when we love our enemies, we want them to be converted. We want them to have a change of heart. We want them ultimately to get to heaven. We don't want them to go to hell and lose their soul. So to truly love someone means that you want the best for them. You want their conversion. You want their salvation. You want them ultimately to be with God forever in heaven. You don't want them to be separated from God in hell for all eternity. So Jesus says to love your enemies. As one person said, love your enemies. After all, you made them. Okay? So we're called to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute you. And this is something that, notice that all these things are a higher standard than the world standard. See, the world could say, yeah, love your friends, but hate your enemies. But no, Jesus said, not only love your friends, but even love your enemies. This is something radically new and different in Christianity that was not seen really in the Old Testament. This is something new that the Lord brought about when he said to pray for those who persecute you. And the church has been persecuted for 2,000 years. As you know, there are four marks of the church. The church is one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. But many of the saints have said, really, there's a fifth mark of the church, and that is persecution. The church will always be persecuted because if it is faithful to Christ, the world will hate it. Just as the world hated Christ and crucified him, so the world will treat his followers and the church in the same way. The church will be hated by the hedonistic, pagan, secular world because of its stance on abortion or homosexuality or whatever it might be, whatever teaching you can come up with. As the church continues to preach and be faithful to the teaching of Christ, it will be hated by the secular world, the heathens and the pagans will hate the church. So Jesus said, when we are persecuted, what do? We still love our enemies. We want their conversion. We pray for them. Jesus says, pray for those who persecute you. I wonder how often we do that. How often do we really pray for those who are persecuting the church today? And we're coming up against this, the Health and Human Services mandate, and the church really is being persecuted. When we look at what the administration is forcing Catholic institutions, whether it be colleges, schools, other institutions that are Catholic, or even individuals that are Catholic, to violate their conscience. And so how do we respond to this? Well, starting on Friday, we have our Fortnight of Freedom. Again, 2 weeks of prayer and fasting and Eucharistic adoration and rosaries for the conversion of our country, for the conversion of our lawmakers, that we need to, Jesus says, to love our enemies, to pray for their conversion, and to pray for those who persecute us. Then the Lord goes on to say, if you do this, you will be truly children of the Heavenly Father, because the Heavenly Father does have unconditional love for each person. Jesus says he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain upon the righteous and the unrighteous. So God has undiscriminating love towards everyone. God is love. He cannot help but love each and every person. He might not like what they do. He sees that it harms them, but God still has unconditional, total sacrificial love towards everyone. And Jesus says, if you treat others this way, then you will be a child of God. You will truly be a child of the Heavenly Father who loves unconditionally. And then the Lord says, if you only love those who loved you, there's no merit in that. There's no reward in that. Even the tax collectors and the greatest sinners will still love those who love them. But again, Christian standards are higher. Jesus said, if you only greeted your brothers and sisters, what good is that? Even the Gentiles do that. But we have to show love towards each and every person. And the Lord concludes by saying, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. So Christians are called to holiness. The word in Greek is teleos, which is when it says be perfect. That word means to come to fulfillment, to come to completion, to become spiritually mature, to become fully grown. That's what the original word means. So Jesus is saying, become a mature Christian, become perfect, become holy, to become like our Heavenly Father.